today, and I pray that it'll touch each one of us. And I just pray that we go out today and use this word in our daily life, and I just pray that it'll change us and help change others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All yours, Ken.
Okay. Good morning. I'm going to try to follow last week. It's not going to be easy. Matthew kind of left some big shoes to fill, but I'm going to give it a shot. So I apologize. I'm going PowerPointless today. Hopefully not pointless, though. So I wanted to talk today about, it's a little bit of a sobering subject. Wanted to talk about leaving a godly legacy, basically leaving a legacy for Christ. And this was inspired by the passing of my dad a couple months ago. And, you know, I heard a long time ago, and, you know, we've all probably experienced loss in our lives, and, you know, whether it's parents or children or siblings, you know, close friends. But I heard a while back that when you lose a parent, it's besides feeling like you lost a part of yourself, it's almost like you start to contemplate your own mortality more. Because, you know, when grandparents pass, you know, you kind of subconsciously, you know, they're a lot older. But when you lose a parent, it's almost like, again, subconsciously, maybe they were like a little bit of a buffer between you and, you know, your mortality. And we obviously know that, you know, the Lord can call us home at any time. And we don't know how many days we have left, and we're only a breath away. We know that. But again, it just causes you to, you know, well, every time you go to a funeral, you start to think about that. But, you know, for some reason, you know, losing my dad really affected me in that way. So I really started to kind of ponder the idea of leaving a legacy. You know, specific questions like, what will mine be? Will it still be there affecting generations after me? What will I be remembered for? And, you know, what will the foundation of my legacy be? Will it be kind of superficial, or will it be grounded in belief in Jesus Christ and be eternal? But I had to kind of pull back and stop for a second, because part of the problem is in those questions, there was a lot of me and I and mine and my, which at the end of the day, that's not what it's about. And I'll kind of get into that a little bit later. But it's not about us at all. And at the end, I want to play a song that kind of, it almost seems like it contradicts what I'm talking about, but it really doesn't. You know, we know that life is short, and in the grand scheme of things, it just passes so quickly, and we only get one opportunity. So I was, you know, just reminded about that a couple months ago, and it stuck with me quite a bit. So, you know, talking about a legacy, just want to talk about, you know, what is a legacy, what kind, why should we leave a legacy, and how do we leave a legacy? And I wanted to talk about a few definitions that I found for the word legacy. And it's almost like they gradually go from the literal and the more common meaning that you think about to maybe a little bit more of a spiritual meaning. So the first one I have is a gift by will, especially of money or of other personal property, something we've been given the gift of salvation. And so there's some spiritual parallelism there. But, you know, we think of an inheritance, we think of money, that's kind of the common thing that comes to mind when you think of legacy. The next definition I have here is something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. So this could apply not only to belongings or money or to, you know, an earthly inheritance, but a little more of the spiritual and passing down our faith. And then the last definition I have here is a candidate for membership in an organization, such as a school or fraternal order, which is given special status because of a familial relationship to a member. So again, kind of going even more into the spiritual, because you know, we've been given the opportunity to have membership, haven't we, in the spiritual with what Christ did, that He opened that up to us and gave us that opportunity. I wanted to read a few scriptures having to do with legacy in the Old Testament. And, you know, God established this idea early on. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." So we're commanded to talk about those within our family, and not only our earthly family, but also our spiritual family, to just constantly be reminding each other of what we're supposed to be doing and how we're supposed to be loving the Lord God. Psalm 78, 1 to 4 says, "My people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open up my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." So again, not keeping it to ourselves, but communicating that to try to continue to further the kingdom of God beyond us and beyond when we're gone. Psalm 145, 3 to 4 says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts." So as far as the why for leaving a legacy, first of all, just in looking at these few scriptures, we're commanded to by God. But we're also continuing the kingdom of God through generation to generation to generation. And, you know, the Lord, at the end of the day, the Lord will continue his legacy whether it's through us or not. That's a given. There's so many different types of legacies that we can leave on this earth. You know, we talk about money, which is maybe the most obvious, and it's probably the most superficial. And we want to leave. We'd like to leave a financial legacy to our kids, but again, you know, if the Lord isn't in it, if the Lord's not guiding us, then it's kind of meaningless. As is kind of all these examples that I'll go through. We might have a building or a structure that someone built to signify a lasting legacy, something they want to be remembered by. You might have a famous name. You know, you talk about names like the Kennedys, Rockefellers, now the Gates, and you know, those are names that are going to be remembered, but what are they remembered for? Again, they're remembered for financial reasons, earthly reasons, money. You might have a career legacy. You know, there's a lot of families who have a legacy of, you know, doctors or lawyers or firefighters or policemen. You know, Pastor Don, the Lord called him into the police force, and now he's called his son, Philip, into the police force. But they're both, he was used in that capacity as well as Phil is. So if the Lord is in a legacy like that, then, you know, how much better and how much value does that have for eternity versus just a family of firefighters or a family of police officers and that's it? You know, that's fine for here, but it has no value in eternity. You might have an educational legacy where you have a family of just, you know, high-level degrees being passed down and kids and their kids. You might have a sports legacy. Yeah, I was thinking about the fact that in college recruiting, they talk about, you know, if a certain parent played for a university and then that school is going after his kid or, you know, his son or daughter, they call him a legacy recruit. Because they're trying to continue that, you know, whether it be Michigan or wherever else.
Whatever will work, right?
That's right. And another big one is military service. You know, you have a lot of families who have that legacy of serving in the military, and, you know, that's another good thing. And the point I just wanted to impress about all these things is they're fine and admirable from an earthly standpoint, but they don't have any value in the spiritual if they're not built with the purpose of serving and glorifying him. If they're just built apart from that, they're not worth anything in eternity. You know, I think of, as far as financial, you know, I think we've all heard of Dave Ramsey and his course, and it's established on biblical principles for finances. So that's a legacy that, you know, I'm sure he handed down to his family, and hopefully that will continue in his family and in a lot of other families because it has a lot of spiritual principles. So in talking about a legacy, you can really compare it to building a house. I've never built a house personally, but I can appreciate the time and the preparation and just kind of the forethought that's required in building a house. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." So building a legacy, again, is like building a house. And we want to leave behind a model of godliness for our kids and for this generation. But if we're building it for the wrong reasons, if we're building it for ourselves, then we're building in vain when it comes down to it. And Jesus in Matthew 7 talks about, kind of goes into more detail, comparing building a house on a strong foundation versus not. Says, "Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock." And we know that the rock is Jesus, right? Nothing else. Whoever hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So if we're building a legacy in this life just to be remembered for ourselves, it's kind of, you can compare it to building a house on sand, where, you know, it might last for a time in this life, or maybe through several generations in this life, but it's going to fall in terms of eternity. In terms of the spiritual, it's just not going to have any staying power.
Ken, those monuments are so useless. You've been to downtown. Has anybody been to downtown Detroit, the Buell Building? Who's Buell? Buell Building. Anybody know who he is? What he did?
The priest at St. Mary's, right?
Yeah, he's not the one that built it, though. Does anybody know who this guy was that built this monument to himself, put his name on it and stuff? The monument's there, but the man is forgotten, Ken.
Yep. So, you know, it all gets down to our motives. I was thinking about Paul, and, you know, when he started his ministry, I'm pretty sure that he didn't set out thinking, you know what, I'm gonna write a large part of the New Testament. People are going to be talking about my name, you know, 2,000 years from now, and I'm gonna have a legacy for myself. I don't think he was thinking that. I think he was being obedient to the calling that started on the road to Damascus, and was just doing what he was called to do. And, you know, the Lord ended up using that and taking those letters and making it part of our Bible that is today, making it part of His Word. But his motives were pure. His motives were to just spread the gospel and to be obedient. So that's a great example for us. God wants us to have an effect on this world and leave a mark for Him, so to speak. And the call in our life isn't just to get saved and then we're done, is it? We have work to do. I mean, just getting saved is just the first step. We have work to do at that point, and we need to affect this world for Christ. You know, we're born in this world and we're going to leave it someday, but in between, He wants us to build a legacy for Him and impact the world. And I myself have been kind of convicted of that lately, especially just, you know, again, with the passing of my dad and thinking about, you know, what we're supposed to be doing with the time that we have left. You know, several of us shared at my dad's memorial service. We talked about, you know, who he was, what he was like, his career, his family, his personality, his characteristics, you know, all the times that we enjoyed together. But I think we were all pretty diligent to point out the fact that the most important thing in all that, and critical to the legacy that he left for Christ, is the decision that he made and that my mom made to accept Christ as Lord and Savior. Because prior to that point, both their families, the legacy is from a spiritual standpoint. You know, we're just basically a bunch of Polish Catholics when you come down to it. I didn't go back, you know, tens of hundreds of generations, but from what I know, you know, they were all, quote, good Catholics, you know, went to Mass, tried to be good people, but that was about it. There, you know, I don't know how far you'd have to go back to find someone who was born again, but quite a ways from my understanding. And, you know, the Lord really used the decision that they made to follow him and kind of changing the course of my family's history. You know, and through their decision and also through, you know, Cheryl's parents' decisions, that legacy was continued into our, you know, with our kids. And, you know, I'm incredibly humbled and thankful and blessed of the fact that our kids are serving the Lord and have made a decision for him, because, you know, establishing a legacy, there's no guarantees. Every person has to make their own decision to follow Christ. There's no guarantees. You can't just put that legacy you're building on autopilot and just assume that it's just going to continue on. And, you know, I was blessed by, as Bob kind of got Matthew to share a glimpse into his testimony last week and kind of had a little bit of Pastor John anointing. you know, he talked about the fact of growing up in the church. And how many stories have we heard about people that have grown up in the church and have walked away from Christ? You hear about, you know, there's celebrities, dozens and dozens of celebrities who talked about, or singers that, you know, I grew up in the church or I sang in the church. But, you know, you can never know for sure, but you see the fruits of, you know, of what they're doing now, and it, you know, it shows kind of a walking away. So there's by no means any guarantees. You know, we're not saved through our parents, and we can't save our kids. Again, everybody makes their own personal decision. The only thing that we can do as parents, and what Cheryl and I tried to do, was to pour into their lives as much as possible, give them the gospel, and try to establish a model of godliness in our lives with the hopes that they will make that decision. You know, Matthew mentioned he grew up in the church, but he reached a point where he felt like he was going through the motions, and he felt like he was kind of in religion and not relationship. So, you know, kind of started communicating with the Lord and just didn't want to go on in that mode. And eventually the Lord became real to him, and he made that decision. And again, every person has to do that. All we can do as parents is we can influence them, steer them to Christ, kind of push them a little bit if we need to. But at the end of the day, it's their decision. And, you know, again, the Lord had a tremendous amount of grace on my family and our kids accepting the Lord. And also the other branch from my parents, my sister's family, they've accepted the Lord as well. And, you know, to have an entire immediate family serving the Lord in these days is not the most common thing in the world. So, again, I'm just extremely blessed that that's been the case. So that legacy of Jesus Christ hopefully will be passed from our kids to their kids, and we'll move on. But it all can be traced back to decisions that my parents made and that Cheryl's parents made that, you know, who knows, if they hadn't made that decision, if they had just continued kind of the Catholic pattern, you know, I'm not sure where I would be today or where we'd be today. So even though our kids are adults now, our work's not done. And beyond our kids, we're called to impact this world as well, and as many people as we can. So it's not limited to our family and our kids. It goes way beyond that. And it's about him. It's not about us. And I'm pretty sure that several generations from now, you know, my descendants, they're not going to know who I was or who my dad was. But hopefully they'll know who Christ was, because of what was started maybe, you know, 40 years ago. I wanted to just talk about a couple biblical examples of leaving a legacy. One of my favorite people in the Bible is Joshua, just because of his courage and his strength and his obedience and willingness to do whatever it took for God. And he didn't look at the circumstances. And Joshua 4:15-24 says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, lo, to come up out of the Jordan.'" So the context of this is The Israelites are crossing the Jordan River. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and the river, by all accounts, was kind of at flood level, so it was really high. And the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. So, like the Red Sea, the Lord kind of parted the Jordan River to allow his Ark to go through. And what God had commanded Joshua to command the people to do is to take stones out of that river. And these weren't, you know, these were kind of like Bob stones. I don't think these weren't little pebbles. These were rocks that they had to carry. And he called them to take them out of the Jordan River, and they were going to eventually set them up as a memorial to what God had done for them. Also, not only the Jordan River, but also the Red Sea. So on the 10th day of the first month, the people went up from the Jordan and carried and camped at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done at the Red Sea, when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" So here is an instance of Joshua obeying God and setting up a legacy that would be remembered, not for what they did, you know, not for they carried the ark. It was what God did in the whole situation.
I think that's a good idea to do in our own personal lives, because every time we hit a trial, we forget the 100 things that God has overcome in our life, right? Because, oh, I'll never get out of this. You said that 100 times. How easy when we're in a trial we forget that. That's why it's good to lay something out there that brings back our memory.
Yep.
When you're going through a trial, sit back and think of the 100 things that God has done for you each and every day.
Amen. And then I wanted to read Joshua 24:14-15, a pretty famous passage. This is Joshua speaking to the Israelites. "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable for you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So, you know, again, there were no guarantees that Joshua's children and their descendants were going to serve the Lord, but he was darn sure he was going to make a declaration at that point for his household that they would serve the Lord. And then it was up to God to honor that and to hopefully continue that. But he was establishing a legacy right there, right then and there. I wanted to talk about Samuel for a couple minutes. 1 Samuel 7:15, it says, "Samuel continued as Israel's leader all the days of his life. From year to year, he went on a circuit from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah, judging Israel in all those places. But he always went back to Ramah, where his home was. And there he also held court for Israel, and he built an altar for the Lord there." So Samuel established a great legacy in Israel. He was a great judge and leader, but in 1 Samuel 8:1-3, and again, this goes back to, is it a given that our kids are going to follow the Lord? You know, they have to make their own decision. It said, "When Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The name of the firstborn was Joel, and the name of the second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba." And everything was hunky-dory, right? And they continued to serve the Lord. Now it says, "But his sons did not follow his ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice." So unfortunately, Samuel's direct legacy didn't continue through his sons, but he established it in other ways through Israel. He was very instrumental in Saul getting anointed as king, and then later David getting anointed as king. So we can see that even though his sons didn't follow the Lord, his legacy was still established in the kingdom of Israel. And, you know, I'm speaking as someone who has a family, but can a godly legacy be created if you don't have a family, don't have kids, not married? Absolutely. And again, I go back to Paul, who I think we can agree established a godly legacy, but he was, by all accounts, not married, didn't have kids. But he established that legacy through the churches that he ministered to, the individuals, people like Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it says, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So Timothy, in a sense, was his spiritual son. And so he continued that legacy through people like Timothy. And, you know, we might not have earthly children, but we might have spiritual children. We might have people we're mentoring or discipling. And that legacy can be established just as well through them. Similar, though, to a good reputation, a legacy can be derailed. You know, if you go down through all the kings of Israel and Judah, it didn't perfectly alternate, but you'd read this king was righteous, this one was righteous, this one wasn't. So that legacy would just kind of change. It didn't mean that the Lord wasn't building his kingdom, but those kings made decisions for themselves to go the way of evil rather than following God. I want to just talk for a minute about the ultimate legacy that we have and the example that we have through Jesus. I wanted to read John 17, where Jesus is talking to the Father. He says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they may be as one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So Jesus is reaffirming the fact that he is establishing his legacy through his disciples at that point, and that it will be established through generations to come, confirming the fact that he has been obedient to the Father. And, you know, this is John 17. He's kind of maybe coming to the latter stages of his ministry. And he, again, just reaffirming what he was doing and what he has done. You know, the one definition of legacy that I talked about, let me just go back to that for a quick second. A candidate for membership in an organization because of a familial relationship to a member. So, Before Jesus died and rose, before he did what he did for us, that club was pretty exclusive, right? It was for Jews, and he opened up salvation to all when he did what he did. So, and then he called us into the family. So we have that family relationship that wasn't available before. In 1 Peter 1:3-5. Says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." So he left us the perfect example of a legacy. And, you know, the characteristics of that legacy, some of the characteristics, humility. He was humility. He stepped away from heaven to basically become a man. And he didn't look to complete his own will, but rather the will of the Father. He was obedient. He was obedient to the plan that had been set before him. He was proven. He was tempted in every way, for example, and without sin. He was faithful. He didn't deviate from his mission And he reaffirmed in John 17 that he was faithful to the Father in that mission. He was focused. And just like Christ, we can't lose our focus. We can't be looking at our own success or recognition, but we have to be faithful to him and him alone. And he was also dependent. He was dependent upon the Spirit to lead him. So in the grand scheme of things, we're working to create and hand down a godly legacy of Jesus to our kids and beyond and this generation. So the concern is not how our name will be remembered, but rather will his name be remembered and will his name be carried on. And I wanted to play a song to end. And again, it talks about, and it sounds like it might contradict what I've been talking about, but it doesn't, because it talks about leaving a legacy for Christ. We don't want to leave a legacy for ourselves, is what the point is. All right.
I got it.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus. And I've only got one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus.
So just in closing, I'd like to say that, you know, life is short, and, you know, our life is just but an instant compared to eternity. So who do we want to be remembered, us or Jesus, is what it comes down to. So.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken. Give him a hand. Again, we'd like to thank Donna for the hard work, everything that you did there to make our breakfast. And next week, Eli, you're up next week, right? Be here. Be here, be square. Ken, who would you like to close?
How about Sammy?
All right, Father, we just thank you for this word, Lord God. I pray that each one of us just strive to make you our legacy, Lord God, that we put ourselves to bed, Lord, and just focus on you, focus on just showing you to everybody else, Lord God. I pray that we just go down to worship with expectancy that you're going to be here, and we just give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.